That worship this morning was amazing. That was absolutely Holy Spirit worship. I could just see them pulling heaven down to earth. It was incredible. At that moment, you know, it was like, God, you're here. You know, we know he's here, but just as that worship come down, did you feel that? It's like he's really here. Every one of you up there this morning were really pushing into God, really pulling it down. It was, for me, it was just incredible experience. And Eunice, where's Eunice? Is Eunice here? She's hiding over there. Eunice, you have got an incredible gift of worship on your life. It's not just something that you can do. It is actually a God-given gift. It's a gift that's going to take a price. It's not always going to be easy. And you're going to have to pay a price for the gift that you have. But that gift is going to touch so many lives. It's like that when you're worshiping, that you could actually see him. You could actually see him and you're actually singing to him. That was the amazing difference. And I know that it's cost you up to this point. And it's not always easy and what you've been through and what you've seen. But out of that, it's like you see him. It's like you see him. And you sort of, with everybody, everybody's amazing, but God's just talking to you this morning. And you know, it's wonderful to be a worshiper. But you know, the most amazing worship that you'll ever do is every time you obey God. Every time, whether you're in your normal life or up here, and God speaks to you, you actually overcome the fear of man and you do exactly what God is asking you to do. Every time you do that, Eunice, you're actually worshiping God. I bless you and I seal that word. Father, I pray that you protect her. Father, that she will work on her character. Father, that her character will always be a way above her calling. Father, she will not let the spirit of world try and get hold of her at all, Father. I pray, Father, that people will pray for her and see that gift in her. And Father, I just pray protection. Protection over the gift, protection over yourself, and I pray a fresh anointing upon your life. And I pray for all those personal desires that you have, Eunice. I pray that as they are according to God, that they will come to pass. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I was very touched this morning. I thought, why don't they just keep going and I'll just sit down? Then I'll really be in trouble, wouldn't I, Sarah? No? She's a beautiful girl too. You know, I know really this is the heart of the church, but I really felt to speak about this morning. It was what the Holy Spirit was prompting to me to speak about, and that was actually representing Jesus with signs and wonders. I know this church believes in miracles. You know, many miracles have happened, you know, through people in this church. I understand that the mandate on this church is miracles, amen, with signs and wonders. But, you know, our heart is always to see a greater release of miracles. Isn't that right? A greater release, not just in this place, but wherever we are, out in the community, in our homes. You know, some of us need the greatest miracles in our own home. We need miracles in those homes. And, you know, we need miracles in our health. We need miracles in our workplace, wherever we are. And I know that our heart is to see greater miracles in people's lives that don't know him and through them come to him. You know, just seeing those miracles. And I know that's God's heart. God's heart, because he is a miracle working God. That's what he's all about. And, you know, and his heart is, you know, people say to me, I don't know my purpose. Well, it's easy to know your purpose. Just get hold of God's purpose. God's purpose is that no one shall perish. Then you've got your purpose in life. To, you know, wait on God and to speak miraculously into people's lives. In Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen, it says. And they went out and preached everywhere, the disciples. But you know the part that we missed there? It says the Lord was working with them. We're never on our own. When we go out and God prompts us to speak to someone or talk to someone or to pray for someone, we have to understand, people, that God is working with us. Isn't that great? I mean, how can you fail? If Lord God is with us and He is working with us, you know, His word will never, ever come back void. You know, I long for this. It's my heart. But, you know, to see this, we must pursue the reality of God's word in our personal life, in our everyday world, wherever we are, community, nation or nations. Allowing the word of God, people, to be a reality in our lives. The word of God has to be a reality in our lives. To live that kind of life, we must understand the reality of God's word. Because we have to understand that God says His word does not come back void. You know, we can say a lot of words to people. But you know, if we just only spoke God's word, then you know what? It cannot come back void. God's word must accomplish what the Bible says it will accomplish. It must do that. And we have to understand that when we speak the word of God, that we know that that word of God that is sent out will do what God said it would do. So we're not on our own, people. We're not on our own. God is working with us. Let's look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. Praise God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. What's the saying, people? It won't come back empty. When we speak His word, it cannot come back empty. But it shall accomplish what I please, which is God, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It will prosper, God says. Because it's my word, says God. It's not your word. It is my God. See, when our prayer is based on the word of God, when our prayer is fueled by the word of God, it will accomplish what the word of God says. See, when the word of God, God's promise, will never be barren. God said His word will never be barren. Who believes the word of God this morning? See, His word will always fulfill the promise of His word. God's word cannot be barren. It can't be fruitless because you know why? His own life is in it. God's life is in His word. Can you see that? So how can it possibly ever come back void? You know, just the other day I was sitting there and looking at this and I was sort of, I suddenly switched over from I'll come back to this, but you know, it's like God took me and it's like a word for this place this morning and He took me to Ezekiel 37. Now I've heard about the dry bones for years, but I've never actually preached on the dry bones ever in my life. But you know, in Ezekiel 7, God gets hold of the prophet Ezekiel and He shows him a pile of dry bones. And you know what He says? Can these dry bones live? That's what He says. In other words, can anything be done with this mess? Anyone thought about that? Can anything be done with this mess? Can my circumstances change? Can things turn around? That's what He was actually saying. I know He was talking to the Jews, but this is what relates to us. But you know what He says? Oh, dry bones, hear the word of God. And this is for someone this morning. You need to start speaking to those dry places in your life. Instead of letting those dry places rule you, you need to be speaking into those dry places and say, dry bones, you will live. You need to get hold of that. Dry bones, you hear the word of God. See, we speak a lot of stuff. iPods, iPads, you all this stuff, you know, talk. If you want to know anything, you Google. I mean, really? But I tell you what, they're just words. We need to get hold of the power of the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's useless. Oh, it's never going to change. Really? I'm always going to be broke. Always going to be sick. I tell you, we need to be speaking the word of God, not sickness, not poverty, not disease, not hopelessness. You know, we need to speak to the situations. Speak the word of God to that situation. Amen? He told Ezekiel to prophesy. What's prophesy mean? Prophesy means prophesying. Speaking the word of God. What are we saying to the dead circumstances in our life? Are we prophesying to the dead bones? Or is what we're saying making them more deader? Is that good English? I like it. Nothing changes. We need to speak his word. He will fulfill his promise. And Stuart, where was he? Oh, you really touched me this morning. And you know what? As you were speaking there, I could have jumped up there then, and I'm going to prophesy into the dry bones of your lives. I'm prophesying this morning for a position, a job. I'm prophesying for finances. I'm prophesying for blessing. I'm prophesying into your situation right now. You've both got incredible hearts, hearts towards God. You've had to struggle like we wouldn't even know it. But you know what? I'm not going to look at your circumstances this morning. I'm going to prophesy into them. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to get up every morning and every dollar you got, you need to prophesy it's going to be 100. You need to prophesy into the work. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. Come on, let's not make the dry bones drier. Amen. And the other thing was really strange. Carolyn, this is really strange. I hope you can work it out. But I was sitting there and I saw you there, and I don't actually get pictures very rarely. I'm just a blabbermouth, you know. And I saw this trolley. I was thinking about the dry bones. And I saw this trolley. And it's like, you know, you are blessed. And you're not one that just goes round, you know, or things are bad. It's not what I'm saying. But I actually saw this trolley come into your life. And you don't want it there. It's like this thing just keeps coming back. It just went wheeling into your life. And you started, you know, this thing, and all of a sudden it would go off again. But it doesn't matter what you do, this trolley just keeps coming back in your life. It doesn't matter what you pray, you just cannot get the victory in this one thing. It's like one thing that just keeps, like an Achilles heel, just keeps coming back. And God said for me to tell you, prophesy. Prophesy into those dry bones. Prophesy. The bones will come back together. And you know, it's interesting in that story, you know, first of all, the sinews come. You know, the bones come together. Then the sinew comes. Then the flesh comes. Then the skin comes. But he still had to turn around and speak life into it. And you're going to see that one situation. You probably got more, but I'm just one this morning, or do me. One situation that you know what I'm talking about. And you know what? He wants you to prophesy. And you're going to see it. It's like it's been wanting, you know, wanting these, some people to respond something. But you know, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, bang. And there it is. No more trolley. No more that thing coming back into your life. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And anyone else here this morning, start speaking into those dry places. I know dry places. And we need to start speaking into it. In February, on the February the 28th, David, who's sitting at the front, I couldn't do anything without him, really. But, you know, on February the 28th, you know, the doctors more or less said, you've got 2 days to live. It was February the 28th. It was a long weekend. And they said, Dave, if you don't go on dialysis, your wife will be ringing, oh, on Monday, and you won't be coming home. That's what we were told. And I was sitting there, you know, I mean, it drives me mad sometimes, let's be honest. But, but we've been married 48 years. I was 12 when I got married. And I'm also a liar. But, you know, I'm sitting there and this guy's speaking this stuff, and David had made up his mind there was no way he's going on dialysis. And I just sat there and I could see my whole, I thought, I'm just too young and beautiful to be a widow. No, I was devastated. But something rose up in me, and I thought, these dead bones are not going to get any deader. So I turned to David, and you imagine the wife having to do this. And I said, David, at this moment you have a choice to choose life or death. And I'm begging you to choose life. For my grandchildren, my children, I'm begging you to choose life. David, choose life. If you don't, I will stand with you. If you want to die next Monday, but make sure it fits in my program. No, I didn't say that. I said, David, choose life. At that moment, something happened because David was dead against it. In that moment, he turned to me and looked at me and said, I'll go on dialysis. And here we are in the middle of October, and he's with us today. Praise God. I tell you, I know about the dry parts. I made a joke of it, but you know, I was devastated. I could have just sat on the floor and cried, and that's not a pretty sight. But you know, something rose up in me. I'm going completely off what I came to say, but some of you need to rise up against those things that are coming against you. Like health, you need to come up against it. Prophesy into those dead bones. Praise God. I encourage you to do that. Get hold of the promise that God has placed in your life. I believe everyone's got something in our life we know that God wants us to do. I do that. I believe that with all my heart. Lift your hand if you know there's a purpose for your life. Come on. Should be every one of you. Every one of you have a promise in your heart for something that God wants you to do, or even for your family or your children, forever what you're believing in. You know, I tell you people, we need to start prophesying into those situations. Prophesying meaning speaking the word of God. And you'll be amazed how you'll see things turn around. See, we need to expect that God watches over his word. Don't you love that? When I spoke those words then, God was watching, Carolyn. God was watching that word. And he was making sure that word would perform what he sent it out to do. Because I'm prophesying God's word. Can you see what I'm saying? You know, we need to represent that kind of expectation. We've got to start expecting things to change. We need to have that kind of faith. People who long for this, what must you do? You've got to pursue God with reckless abandonment. And many of you in this place have done that. In other words, you know, you probably think, is this English again? But I will explain what I'm saying. But you know, in other words, we need to become a sent person and not a went person. You know, there's a difference between a sent person and a went person. A went person is someone who goes out on their own behalf. That is not wrong. I went to Africa, I went to the shop, I went here, I went there. I mean, really, that's about life. You went. A sent one is someone who is sent by God. A sent one is someone who goes out on behalf of the sender. We need to be going out on behalf of the sender. See, a went one, you know, when a went one goes, that's not bad, but they're actually representing themselves. Can you see that? They're representing themselves. I'm not saying that's wrong, but that is what is happening. And the people will receive them, but they will receive them. But when we are sent, the people that receive us are receiving the God we represent. See the difference? We need to be representing God. And people will receive God, not us. See, it has nothing to do with us personally. It has everything to do with who we are representing. Who are we representing, people? You know, the Bible says the Lord works with us. Isn't that what I said earlier? See, the disciples were sent out, weren't they? They said, go. They preached everywhere. And what happened, people? Signs and wonders followed them wherever they went. See, when we know we are sent, representing God, not on ourselves, not our gifts, look at me, but as we act as an appointed representative of God, we can be confident that God will have our back all the time. We've got to get that into our hearts. You know, we have to know that we do have a divinely ordained assignment and that all heaven is behind us. You ever felt alone when you're doing stuff? But all heaven is behind us. And we will see the miraculous power of God in a much greater way. You are not alone. We are sent people. In other words, representing Jesus, empowered by the Lord. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. when people often represent themselves. That's not God's way. God is working with us. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8 says, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." The Gospel of Mark says those signs will follow those who believe. Who will these signs follow? Those who believe. Who in this room believes? Then you must have signs and wonders following your life. You must. These signs confirm the ministries of Christ's ambassadors through every generation. You know what? He's talking about you. Amen? We are his representatives. We are representing the true nature of God. That's what we are representing. See, the primary purpose of signs and wonders and miracles is to touch other people's lives. See, I find the lack of miracles just pure robbery. I go to a lot of places. I've been to Melbourne, Adelaide. I've just been to so many places the last couple of weeks. I can't remember which side of the bed to get out of. But you know, but everywhere I go, I just see robbery. I see people's lives robbed. Robbery in finances, robbery in emotions, robbery in healing, just robbery, robbery, robbery. And I'm sick to death of people being robbed. Absolutely sick of it. Because the lack of miracles is just pure robbery. Would you agree with me? See, I want to see people having a personal encounter with God, and that encounter must include great Holy Ghost power. When miracles occurred in the New Testament, it turned sinners' lives around. Do you know that? Jesus just didn't preach in the temple. He preached out in the streets. He preached out in the villages. He went wherever people were. He went to a well to see a woman at the well. You know what? Jesus did not wait for everyone to be perfect. Because I tell you what, you lot wouldn't be here. And I definitely wouldn't be here. Jesus empowered. Understand this. It wasn't until Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit that he performed miracles. So if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can perform miracles. Is that right? Not a special program. I'm not against programs. There's amazing programs out. But I tell you what, when Jesus was there, you know, when the demons started reacting, he delivered them. He set them free. See, when God's world, kingdom world, collides with the kingdom of darkness, his world must win. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Acts 1:8, you can read that. We are his witnesses. We are his ambassadors. We are his representation on earth. We are sent ones, not went ones. God works with us. What are we representing when we're out there? Who are we representing? We need to be representing him. It's impossible to be an ambassador, a representative of Christ, without demonstrating his supernatural power. Because it's him that touches people's lives. As I said, people are just sick of words. See, the miracle realm of God is always for a purpose. It's not so we can say, "Oh, it feels good, it's wonderful. Look what happened through me." No. Miracles bring life. Miracles bring hope. Miracles bring healing. Miracles bring freedom. Miracles turn people's lives around. That is God's nature. That's who we are representing. God wants to see people's lives turn around. He wants them to be free. He wants them to fulfill the life that he has planned for them. See, demonstrations of power are always redemptive in nature. I was beginning this year, if I say times, I can't sort of remember where I was, but it was beginning this year. I was out in a place called Condobolin in New South Wales. It's out in the Never Never. All I know is you catch a big plane to Sydney, and when you get to Sydney, you've got to go on this little plane, and this mighty woman of God's going, "Oh God, please, 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 God, help me, help me, help me." And I get on this plane that's this big. Anyway. So there's a pastor out there. Her name is Sharon Wright. She actually has been in Apostolic for a long time. She's 44 years of age. She's not married. And she would have been the best youth leader that our movement has ever had. Completely different to what you expect from a youth leader. But she just had this way of winning many, many souls. And she's the best discipler I've ever met in my whole life. So you can imagine when she told the movement that she was going to start a church in Condobolin, which is way out in New South Wales, and to a little Aboriginal town out there. Everybody offered her every job you could think of, I'm telling you. But she said, God has told me to go to Condobolin. She's a teacher. So she managed to get a job out there for 3 days a week, and she lived in a car. And she gradually started pushing in to the young people in Condobolin. So I came into the picture about 3 years ago. I knew she was over there. She rang me a lot. I was sort of her mentor. So I paid my own fare to go over there so that I could just help her. So when I got there, she was having a meeting in a house. Well, not a meeting, because none of them were saved. And so she had 24 young people in her lounge room. And it was so interesting. And I walked in, and they didn't even look at me. And they were all on their Facebook. They were Facebooking each other. And I said to Sharon, what are they doing? She said, they're talking about you. They were Facebooking each other, talking about me. I said, great. So I can't remember a lot about that meeting. I sort of prayed and did what I did, and I didn't preach or anything. None of them were born again at that time. So it comes up another year, and I really felt to go back again. By this time, all those ones that were there are now born again. She has 60 people that she has reached in that church, and only two of them were Christians beforehand. Is that amazing? So anyway, so I went there the second time, and what a relief, you know. As I'd come up in the car, they ignored me the first time, but this time they actually all ran out to the car and hugged me. Is that amazing? And so anyway, I went back again this year. And I just love being there. I love these young people, and I love just being with her. And she said to me that night, they got their own building. And please pray for them this week. They have an opportunity to buy their own building. I mean, you're thinking, how can that happen? You know, they can buy a huge building on the street front. You know how much for? $130,000. You know, but it's still a lot of money when none of your kids work. And school and all that kind of stuff. So I'm believing she'll have her own building by the end of the week. So I land up at the building, and they're very excited. They had 60-odd people there, and Sharon said to me, we got 15 new people here tonight, 15 new young people. So it was really exciting. So when I got to preach, I was really, you know, preaching into the young, I suppose, or whatever. But, you know, I was really trying to listen to God. And as I was preaching, suddenly I looked down at the second seat, and there was a girl there with a – she would have been about 16, 17. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know if she's born. I knew nothing. And I looked at her, and she had writing on her T-shirt, and she had Miss America. She was Aboriginal girl, Miss America. So I said, ah, look, Miss America. Just stopped dead in the middle of my preaching. Miss America. And I started speaking into her life. I started telling her about her life. Her eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger. And all the friends were looking because they had never seen the likes of it. But the most incredible thing was, as I looked to the left, there was another girl there. She could have been 18 to 25, much bigger, older girl. I looked at her, and I couldn't read her T-shirt because I had my glasses off like this. And I said, what's on your T-shirt? And she told me, she said, anyway, it's not my T-shirt. I said, well, this is in the middle of a service. I said, well, whose T-shirt is it? She says, it's my brother's. It's his university church. Church, something went off in my spirit. I said, why are you wearing your brother's university shirt? You should be wearing that shirt. You've got a dream, a plan to be a teacher. You've got a dream and, you know, a dream to go to uni, and you should be in uni. And I started telling you all about uni. And by this time, everybody's eyes are getting bigger and bigger. I had no idea who she was. But you know what? She had gone to uni and it didn't work, and she'd walked out of uni a week before. Unsaved, walked out of uni, turned up to a meeting, and I tell you, where is she today? Back in university. But she's gone to Sydney University, where she gets some more support. She's gone back. And you know, Sharon was getting on a plane to come over here in March. She's going to stay with us. When she came over, that girl and her mother was on the plane. And they said, are you going to see Pastor Lynette? You tell her I am back in university. I'm going to be that teacher. And it's been my plan, my heart, all my life to be a teacher to help my people. One word. Or a few words. But you know, God's word can change people's life. But the best part that happened, you know, I felt to finish the meeting. And Sharon got up and she gave the altar call. She had an anointing for that. I'm going to tell you, the whole 15 that came gave their hearts to the Lord, still going on with God because they all knew those two girls. See, what we just don't realize how lives can be turned around and changed. Praise God. See, God doesn't expose our sin. He doesn't go, shame, Charlie. He says, good on you, Charlie. I tell everybody you're one of the most amazing men I know. Anyway, I'll move on. He doesn't say how bad we are, but he convicts us. You know, a miracle places someone in a position to cross over the line and make a choice. That's what miracles do. Not everyone that has a miracle actually goes on with God, but actually puts them in a position to cross over the line and be able to make a decision. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death. I am a great believer in testimonies. I'm sure when I was talking about that girl, some of you sitting there, oh man, I wish my child was sitting in that meeting. You know what I mean? Really? It encourages us. Overcome by the word of their testimony. See, testimonies build our faith. They give us courage. They give us hope. Would you agree, people? When I was up in India, I'll be there in a couple of weeks again, Ray. And when I was up in India, end of last year, up in this place, way up in the middle of Never Never. And when I was there and I was preaching in to these women, and there was about 150 women in a hall that should have 50 in it. You know what it's like, don't you? 50 women in it. And so we had about 150 women, had one window over here, and it was so hot. There was no fans or anything. And I'm starting to feel a bit dizzy, you know, as I'm preaching. But I'm looking over to the right, trying to get some air, and there's two Muslim men, because they had their little hats and their costumes on, sitting on the step. So after the meeting, I went straight over to them. And I went over and I said, hi, it's so great to see you. How come you're here? I see you're Muslims. And they said, we're not Muslims. We're Christians. I said, great. I said, how did that happen? And he said, see my arm? He lifted up his arm. Looked better than mine, actually. He lifted up his arm. He said, see my arm? My arm was completely withered. And everybody's told me. It just hung. It just hung like skin. There was just nothing of it. He said, the pastor of this church prayed for me. My arm came back to normal. And that other man that's sitting there, my friend, he's here because of my arm. And if you've got time, you can go and meet the other 20 was Muslims, now Christians, because they are now Christians because of my arm. We don't realize what a little thing like that can do. Testimonies create a hunger, a power of God. It's a greater expectation to see the power of God. You know, you see, I have a testimony. Then there's more miracles, more testimonies, more miracles, more power. Hey, it's exciting life, isn't it? Praise God. I tell you, but the most important thing is, I used to say, because Dave's been touched many times, I used to say, oh, so-and-so prayed for him, so-and-so prayed for him. I don't do that anymore. I just say, you know what? I give all glory to God. We can rob the glory of God. We've got to give God the glory. You know, the word of God says that the actual miracle itself also gives God glory. That's what the word of God says. Don't you find that incredible? Psalm 145, verse 10 and 11 says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. See, all his works. And your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, because we've got to give him the glory. See, not only do our hearts get stirred, to give God the glory. But the psalmist is saying, as I said, miracles give him glory on their own. Every miracle glorifies God. I love Psalm 145:4. One generation shall praise your works to another. I'll finish it here. And shall declare your mighty acts. The message says each one will tell stories of your mighty acts. You know, again, was it a couple of years ago now, I went actually on a different mission. I went actually with Jossie Chacko, who does incredible work, got churches everywhere up there. I went out and he asked me to go and preach to all his leaders and all that there. So I went up there and I was preaching to about 700 pastors. And that night, you know, but the year before, a Swiss team had been there. And when that Swiss team came, an actual couple, one of the young pastors came. And they came 7 hours away and they brought a couple with them. That couple had been married 17 years and couldn't have a child. The fact that he was still staying with her after 17 years is a miracle. Because if you hadn't had a baby after 3 or 4 years, you are done. He goes on to the next one. So a couple came, desperate to have a child. And the Swiss team actually prayed for them. So I come along the next year and they said to me, "You won't believe who's here." They told me the story about this couple. And this couple, guess what they came with? A baby. They had a baby in that year. But not only did they come with a baby, they brought 5 other couples from the village who couldn't have children. So I was really excited because that's a gifting I have. I was really excited. So I got up and they said, "Pastor Lynette, will you pray for these 5 couples?" I couldn't wait. But I had a contestant that night. Sitting in the front row there where Caroline is was a little 8-year-old Indian, gorgeous little girl, all dressed in white. You know, her parents were much, much older. And they had tried and tried to have her. And eventually they did after many years. Now she's 8 years old. They had tried and tried to have another baby. And right at the time I was there, she was pregnant. She'd actually got pregnant. And she was having a lot of trouble. So as I got up to pray, little angel got out of her seat, walked right up to me, pushed right in front of me, and said, "I will pray." I said, "Pray." So she started praying. She prayed for this couple, man alive. Then she went to the next one, then the next one, and the next one. She prayed with such power, miraculous power, you've never seen the likes of it. Actually, she prayed so hard, I was scared I was going to fall pregnant. It was so amazing. You know, miracles, we need to be passing them on to our generations. Instead of passing this and that and all the rubbish in the world, how about talking about God? How about talking about the power of God? How about talking about the miraculous power of God? Let's just spread His word to the next generation. I'm telling you, young generation, God is amazing. God is powerful. I saw you at the corner of my eye, this little one here. I don't know what your name is, but you know, God, I just felt God wanted you to say to you how much He loves you. How much He loves you. He just wants to pour His love into you. When you look in the mirror, you don't see what He sees. But I tell you what, He sees your heart and He loves you and He wants you to know that His purpose is and His plans are for your good. I can see the struggle you're having. Even at your little age now, you're having a struggle in life. But God is saying, "I've got your back, little one. I'm going to be with you." And I tell you what, even when you're old and gray, you will serve God. You'll never be taken away. You're going to know God in a tremendous way. One day, maybe I mightn't be here, but you'll be standing up preaching the word of God. Oh, Father, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, people, we need to get hold of the power of God because it's not about us. We think we're not good enough. We're not capable. You're not Lynette Tobin. Well, I bet you're glad you're that. But, you know, but it's all about let us stand. I have a different timing to what you have, but let's just stand right now. If you feel comfortable, just lift your arms to God right now. Just lift right now. Every one of us are believing for something. Every one of us are believing for a miracle in our life. Every one of us are believing for a change. Every one of us. Every one of us need to get hold of the fact of prophesying to those dead bones. And what I want you to do right now, everyone has a dead bone probably, but what I want you to do now is to lift those dead bones to God right now. Meaning there's something in your life, no matter what you do, it just doesn't seem to change. It's like Caroline's trolley. It was not going to happen again. It keeps coming back. It's like it keeps coming back. You feel like you got free and it's back again. What I want you to do, I want you to speak to those things right now. You don't have to say what it is, but I just want you to start speaking out loud, and I want you right now to speak to those dead bones. Amen? Come on, you start doing it. We're here to get you. Start doing it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, start speaking to those dead bones. Start speaking to those things that are holding you back. Start speaking to those lies, to those lies. Come on, start speaking. Start speaking to them right now in Jesus' name. Oh, nabakia bachaka kaka 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 kamba. Oh, nabakia basia kaka kaka kamba. Oh, shaka kaka 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 kamba. Come on, start speaking. Start speaking. Oh, nabakia bashaka kaka 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 kamba. Oh, Jesus, start singing. Come on, start singing. Come alive. Start singing. Come together. Start singing. Coming together. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Change. Change, 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 change. Oh, Jesus, come on, start seeing it. This man right here in the front here, you start believing right now and you start prophesying to those things, because I can see change, change. That you've had dreams, you've had plans, and they haven't worked out the way you want them to. But I'm telling you, sir, it's going to change. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. It's going to change. It's going to be changed. Those things that seem to be gone, have broken, whatever. You know what? God's going to fix them. God's going to fix them. He's going to turn those things around that you are believing for. Amen. Come on. Who's starting to believe? You know, the Holy Spirit's here. He wants to. He wants those things to come alive in your life. He wants them to come alive. Let's just start talking about the amazing, incredible things of God. Amen. Bless you, people. I will be here to carry on next week. Thank you.